Lecture topic, A Noble Deed, part 2.
Saint of my parents, إِن كُنْتُ فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ. You know I did this only for your pleasure. فَفَرِّجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. When a man is desperate, Allah give us the opportunity, we went to Egypt, we went to Mount Tur, the place where Allah communicated with Musa alayhi salatu was salam. It's about 500 kilometers from Cairo. We climbed the mountain on camelback for 3 hours. It's a steep mountain. Jabal Munajat, they call it. It's a real Bedouin life. And it was really a unique experience. On the mountain, there are certain hideouts. They got small shops there. And they lived the real Bedouin life. Finally, when we got, so to say, to the zenith of the mountain, where, according to the local brothers, this was the location where Allah communicated with Musa alayhi salatu was salam. We got there to the top, and the local brothers told us, they seen that there were symptoms of rain. After 3 years, there was such severe rain. It was so severe, so severe, so severe, that the local brothers left us and went. Speaking about these people trapped in the center of the cave. We don't know anything. To come down, it's 3 hours, and you can see rocks falling also. We took shelter in one small little shop there, zinc roof, but it started hailing. The shopkeeper left it and ran. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Allah says, who is that one that responds to the call of the desperate man and removes his problem and grants him safety? Like in English they say, there's no atheist on a sinking ship. Oh my God. At that time, every man's heart turns to some power. There's no agnostic, there's no atheist. Everybody believes in some power. Finally, it was raining so heavy, we couldn't come down, and of course it's declined. The brother with the camels went away, we went on camel back. I think charged us about 60 of the local currency per camel. We ran out and we started screaming on the top. Some brothers heard us, they came immediately, rescued us, and they took us in the hideout of that mountain. And mashallah, they were living, there was a beautiful house inside this mountain. They fed us there, prepared tea for us and entertained us. So can we imagine the plight of these people inside that cave? If you have a phone at that time, there won't even be reception. The first man makes dua, the others say Ameen. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam says, nobody touches the boulder and it takes a turn. Nobody touches the boulder and it takes a turn. One man made his dua, he went away. Second person come forward. Allahu Akbar. Is there any family today that every person in that family has some amal with Allah? Like I said, Allah forgive. When a situation comes, our wrong haunts us at that time. I have done this against Allah, I have done this against Allah. I don't have the courage, how do I ask Allah, what do I ask Allah? I've got more negative than positive, more disadvantages than advantages. The second youngster comes forward, and he makes his dua. Allahumma innahu kanat li ibnatu am. Allah, I had one uncle of mine, and he had one daughter who I loved most dearly, most passionately. Wa kuntu uhibbuha ka ashaddi ma yuhibbu ar-rijalu an-nisa. I loved her the most that any male could love any female. Allah, I was infatuated over her love. I loved her most dearly. And I approached her that she give me access to herself. But she refused. Hatta alammat biha sanatum min as-sinin. And then she got desperate because of a drought. And she knew I had a soft spot in my heart for her. So she came to me to ask me for money. Because she knew I loved her and I was passionate about her. I was attracted towards her. I took this and I exploited the opportunity. And I said, I will give you 120 dinars. Ala an tukhalli bayni wa baynak. Provided you give me seclusion with yourself. The woman was desperate and she agreed. I gave her the 100 and the others are listening. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, as I mentioned, there has to be some amal. One is on a local level, one is on a domestic level, and then one is on an international front. Imagine if every ummati had this, and then we made dua to Allah through the medium of those amal. Wallah, the Quran says, وَلَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. Don't fear, don't despair, you are the highest if you preserve the truth. People are saying, that the media is portraying a false image of Islam. The ayat-e kareema that I recited before you, Allah says this has been the practice of the kafir from the very beginning of time. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When the kuffar of Makkah were asked, what does this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Because they were familiar with deen. They knew it. When Abu Sufyan, prior to accepting Islam, was summoned in the court of Heraclius, he wasn't yet a Muslim. And Herakl asked, is there any Arab from Makkah here that I can get some information about Islam? What image the media is portraying? I was now in America in the month of Ramadan. So, since after 9/11, things have become very, very difficult for the Muslims. And the Muslims are trying to institute many programs by virtue of which they can educate the ordinary American masses about the truth of Islam. Because constantly the media is portraying the incorrect image. So they arrange for certain programs of non-Muslims. Initially I was skeptical, but then I felt this is a need, that if we're not going to go forward, who's going to give them the truth? So one brother was working in one company, one firm. He arranged to call all the non-Muslims working in that company, mostly American whites. And he says that we got a scholar from South Africa, he will address you, and then after that you can have a question and answer session. So alhamdulillah, we made dua, made mashwara, and we decided, we went. I spoke about the role of Isa alayhi salam in the light of Quran as far as Jesus. And then I spoke about the honor, because many of them are exposed to media. And then I spoke about the virtue of a woman in Islam. The common questions, you know, just speaking of how their minds have been conditioned. After I spoke about everything, immediately they open up the question and answer. One brother, one American white, stands up. Excuse me, what does jihad mean? How their minds have been conditioned. Then, second question, polygamy. So I spoke about Islam allows restricted polygamy. Islam says that it is correct, but Islam does not encourage it. A man has got married, he has one wife. For some reasons of fertility, she cannot conceive, but he is desirous to have a child. Islam will not tell her, abandon this woman. Look after her also. And if Allah has meant children for you, take another woman also in your nikah. Allah can give you children also. Or perhaps she is terminally ill. She has served him. She is the mother of his children. At the same time, he is a man. He has to continue with life. On these occasions, Islam gives concession for him to take another wife. Immediately, this lady stands up. Well, if Islam permits a husband to take few wives, why doesn't Islam permit a woman to take few husbands? What happens if the one husband is terminally ill? So I said, thank you for your wonderful contribution. I acknowledge your point. And I explained to her. I said, look, there are two things to analyze here. One is naturally, I spoke about the aspect of AIDS. I said, AIDS, the pandemic and the epidemic of AIDS, is not because a man is sleeping with more than one woman. Because a man is sleeping with more than one woman unlawfully, illegally. You show me one man who has four wives in his nikah who has developed AIDS. He's having relation with all his wives lawfully, legally. Unheard of AIDS in his life. And a man sleeping with one woman only, first time in his life, but outside wedlock, and he develops AIDS. So AIDS is the curse related to fornication. And it is a clear-cut proof that this is the consequences of the violation of the command of Allah. I said, if a woman has few husbands, we'll have a major problem in identifying the children. However, I made her understand, constantly they are made to believe that in Islam there's dictatorship and a woman has no choice. One woman stands up and she says, do I disqualify to be a Muslim if I go and work? This is how the media has been constantly, you know, poisoning their minds. Islam definitely gives concession to working in certain situations with certain rulings, certain laws, certain parda. But this is constantly how the media has been poisoning their minds. The Quran says, when the kafir was asked, "Mada anzal rabbukum," those that were living close to Nabi alayhi salam, who knew Nabi alayhi salam's life in and out, they were asked, what do you say about Islam? What is Allah revealed? قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. They said, Quran is nothing but ancient tales. This Muhammad knows nothing but to talk about the people of the past. Hiraqal, when he was calling the court, Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan says, I wasn't a Muslim at that time. It comes in Bukhari Sharif in the first volume, first few pages. Hiraqal asked me, tell me about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan says, he tightened the questions on me so much that he didn't give me leeway to defame the character of Nabi alayhi salam. I was looking for the slightest chance to blemish the character of Nabi alayhi salam and to portray a false image of Islam. But I was not prepared to tarnish my reputation as a liar. This was, of course, the unique quality of the Arab. He says, I had one of two choices. Either I lie blatantly about Islam, but then I have to face the consequences of being referred to as a liar. And that I was not prepared to accept. The stigma of a liar was too painful to me. I said, I will speak the truth, but I will come across in ambiguity so that this man must not be exposed to the truth of Islam, so that he does not accept Islam. This is the only chance I got once when he asked me, tell me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has he ever betrayed you? Has he ever deceived you? So I said, this is my chance. Now he knew Nabi alayhi sallam had never betrayed. One was to say, no, this man is a man of honor, he never betrays. I said, this is the time where I can incorporate my agenda. I said, look here, up to today he hasn't yet betrayed me, but you never know what the future holds. The hadith of Bukhari says, I was waiting, where can I put in evil? Where can I poison? This man mustn't come the truth. Otherwise they knew the truth. He asked me, tell me what you say about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has he ever betrayed? I said, look here, up to today he hasn't yet, but we don't know what the future holds. More than that, there was no more leeway for me to infiltrate or incorporate any of my evil agendas. So, media is the tool of batil. We don't need to counter this by the tool of batil. Brothers, we need to display akhlaq. Wallah, the world is desperate. The world is desperate to see the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salam. If you and I, by virtue of our akhlaq, have not yet convinced those domestic servants that are under our employment for 20 years, not one day has that domestic servant ever asked you, where are you going to early in the morning? If a prisoner came in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salam, 3 days was enough, by the third day he was part of the congregation. The environment of Masjid al-Nabawi was too conducive, too polite. A kafir could not stand tight to that pillar more than 3 days. He came in there saying, I hated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. And he walked out of there saying, I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. If by virtue of my akhlaq, I fail to convince and I fail to impress upon my domestic servant, indeed I'm living in a fool's paradise, that to come on the media and portray the true Islam when I'm devoid of it in my own life. Aaj ye akhlaq nukush mein hai, kaash nufus mein aa jaye. It's in paper. Allah, it has been to transmit it into our lives, and then you will see the strength. Nabi alayhi salam said, the riwayat I quoted before you, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ. You will follow the steps of those that preceded you. The manifestation of the statement of Nabi alayhi salam stares at us by every hour, if not minute. Nabi alayhi salam says, O my Sahaba and the ummah that is to follow, you will follow the nations that preceded you in every act that they did to such an extent. If they do things that are totally nonsense, illogical, which contradicts with human nature, by virtue of which they enter the hole of a lizard, blindly you'll also go in that hole. Why? They also went in that hole. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, when you say the people that preceded us, are you referring to the Yahud and the Nasara? Nabi alayhi salam said, if not them, then who else? Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi nawarallahu marqadahu, author of Hayatul Sahaba, Allah fill his grave with noor. He used to make this dua, Allahumma akhrij al-Yahudiyyata wal-Nasraniyyata awwalan an qulub al-Muslimin. Oh Allah, before driving the Yahud and the Nasara out of the lands of the Muslims, Allah, drive Judaism and Christianity out of the hearts of the Muslims. Allah, before driving them out of the land, wallah, if they leave Palestine and they leave Medina, but they reside in our hearts, what have we achieved? Auhallahu ila nabiyyin min al-anbiya an qul li qawmika la yarkabu marakib a'da'i wa la yat'amu mata'im a'da'i wa la yalbasu malabis a'da'i fa yakunu a'da'i kama hum a'da'i. In Sirat Mustafa, Mawlana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullah alayhi make mention of this quotation. Allah inspired one Nabi, tell your nation not to imitate my enemies, dress like them, walk like them, talk like them. You resemble them, you'll also become my enemies. Friends, and the time is going, let us end with that incident. Oh Allah, I love this girl very passionately. فَلَمَّا قَعَدْتُ بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهَا And then desperately she gave me access because I gave her money. When I sat down between her legs, and I was now ready to satisfy myself, this woman told me, اتَّقِ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَفُضَّ الْخَاتَمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ Allah alone knows what must have been the taqwa of this girl. May Allah give haya to our sisters. She told me, Oh my cousin, I'm desperate, so I have given you access. But I'm telling you, fear Allah and don't break the seal unlawfully. Oh my Allah, you are my witness. I withdrew myself. At that critical moment, brothers, we are married, you will agree. A man is sitting with his legal, lawful wife and is about to have relation. And at that time, the muaddin calls out the Fajr Azan. Hayya alal falah. Come towards success. I'm not talking of the newly wed couple. In everything the deen, whenever, this is the nature of shaitan. Whatever Allah makes forbidden, that is the time shaitan arouses the lust of a man. Whole night a man is not sleeping, Fajr time he's snoring. Allah speaks about this in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ Oh, you who believe, Allah will test you. When you are in the state of ihram, hunting is haram. But Allah says, when you are in ihram, I will bring the game so close to you that you can touch it with your hands. تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ You can hold it with your hands. وَرِمَاحُكُمْ With your spear. But it's haram. And when you're out of ihram, you will have to run behind that animal. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ Allah wants to see who has strength that can subdue his emotions. Who can contain himself? Nabi alayhi salam seen two people wrestling. What are you judging? Strength. Allah doesn't judge strength like this. Allah judges strength by the one that can control his anger. That is strength in the eyes of Allah. Mullah Ibrahim Dawla Damat Barakatuh mentioned, a man walks in his house, immediately shaitan shows him the flaws of his wife and children. As soon as he walks in, shaitan depicts the flaws. The sun is not clean. The food is not prepared. This is not done. Shaitan focuses on all the flaws. Now, he becomes angry. He is incited by his anger. Shaitan now leaves him at the mercy of his anger and he pulls out of that house. Now this exchange of vulgar, it sways his wife, who innocently was preparing the meal, who was trying to look after the child. She was restless. She had to see to so many things. He walks in depicting the flaws of his wife and children. So that house becomes a musibat. Fear Allah and don't break the seal unlawfully. Allah, you are my witness. At that time I withdrew. In kuntu fa'altu dhalik. Can we imagine what must have been the taqwa of that woman that inspired this man? Sarah alayhi salam is traveling with Ibrahim alayhi salam. They come in Egypt. It's a tyrant ruler. He tells his wife, I will say you are my sister. Because it's the evil practice of this man, he abducts the wife of any person traveling. So I will make reference to you as my sister and not as my spouse. Sarah alayhi salam comes before the king. She intends evil. And he stretches a lustful hand towards her. Allah alone knows what must have been the piety of Sarah. He hardly stretches his hand and his hand becomes paralyzed. Wallah, if that mother has haya in herself, that man who casts a lustful gaze, perhaps Allah will set his sight. But what will be the condition of that woman who projects herself? لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهِ Allah's curse is on that male who casts a lustful gaze on a strange man. And Allah's curse is equally on that strange woman who presents herself, projects herself. You and I, Mawlana, come for the wedding, we have separate parda facilities. Adequate arrangements have been made for the male on one side, female on one side. And the main table has been so uniquely, ironically positioned that there is a glance from here, there is a flavor from here, a flavor from there. The Nabi of Allah says, he who presents himself or she who presents herself, the curse of Allah and his malaika is on that woman. My brother, when you have commenced the marriage of your daughter with the curse of Nabi alayhi salam, I swear by the grandeur of Allah, the dua of Mufti Sahib cannot undo the curse of Allah. The presence of ulama, the presence of noble people at that gathering to camouflage it, to give it a flavor of piety, will not undo. You want your daughter to venture into a marriage commencing this marriage with the curse of Nabi alayhi salam. Marriage is that occasion you take into consideration to please even those people with whom you're not talking. It's a happy occasion. It's my daughter. My daughter will feel bad if I don't humble myself. Chalo, make maaf and come. Are you happy with the setup? Are you happy with the food? You are accommodating even your enemies. Didn't you take some time to take out to ask, what is the desires of Allah in this nikah also? What does my Allah want? Are my in-laws happy? My daughter happy? Yes, I was mentioning on the occasion of Qurbani, that when there is a function in the house, then the wife ignores her fuss. If I fuss about my house, my daughter will say, look at my mother, my in-laws are coming, I'm getting married, and she's worried about the clothes, and she's worried about the carpet. My daughter will feel so hurt and bad and embarrassed that my in-laws are coming, my wayway is coming, and I'm still fussing about my other thing. So to accommodate the joy of your daughter, you gave up the fuss of your house. But sad enough, Ibrahim alayhi salam was prepared to stain himself with the blood of his son for the order of Allah. You are not prepared to stain your yard with the blood of that animal in the sacrifice of Ibrahim. So we'll have that animal, from the house it went to the farm, and from the farm it went to overseas. And that's the end of Qurbani. My child getting up in a Muslim house doesn't know what does Qurbani entails other than Eid Namaz. But ask my child what is 14 February, he'll tell you more. Ask him what's a birthday party. Allah forgive, birthday parties have become so evil, so common, that people are phoning, Ulama, Malana, I'm having a birthday party. Grace the occasion with your presence. Grace the occasion with your presence. Sanction it by your presence. So there's no spirit of Qurbani left. He stretches his hand. He says, okay, forgive me. She forgives him and he withdraws his hand. Again incited by his ego. قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا سَامِرِ قَالَ بَصَرْتُ بِمَا لَمْ يَبْصُرُوا بِهِ فَقَبَلْتُ قَبْلَةً مِنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ فَنَبَذْتُهَا وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. I just felt like doing it. The youth of today say, just for the buzz, just for the fun, just for the thrill. The Quran speaks about this here. Brothers, understand this ayat. Wallah, it's the same thing. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. Samiri, who initiated the worship of the calf, Musa came back, why you did this? I felt like doing it. I just for the buzz, just for the fun, for the thrill. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. O Nabi of Allah, have you seen that man who has made his ego his deity? Ibn Abbas says, there hasn't been a more evil god that has been worshipped than the ego of man. Again he stretches his hand. Again it becomes paralyzed. Allahu Akbar. Again he says, forgive me, forgive. Then he realizes the piety. And then he gives Hajra alayhi salam wa akhdamaha Hajar. He says, this is a pious family. In my house, according to Ardul Quran, he says, I will prepare and I will prefer my daughter being a slave in this house than being a queen in someone else's house. When he's in the piety of Sarah, that every time he stretched his hand became paralyzed. He then gives Ibrahim alayhi salam Hajra as a gift. I prefer my daughter being a slave in this house than a queen in some other house. Why? This is the morality of this house. So he says, oh Allah, you are my witness at that stage. When that woman told me to withdraw, I withdrew. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, you and I are driving and we cannot lower our gaze. Imagine what must have been the piety of this young man. إِن كُنْتُ فَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ إِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ فَفَرِّجْ عَنَّا مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. Allah, I ask you through the medium of that action. Wallah, brothers, you can come to the hospital. And one is that man will make dua and cry. But if you can present at that time some dua, maybe you don't have to lift your hands. Maybe you don't have to verbally utter. But you can spiritually communicate with Allah. Barter with Allah. Transact with Allah. Allah knows that action you did in the dead of night. Says, Allah, I present this action now. Rescue my sick son. Oh Allah, give shifa to my sick sister. Whatever it is, and see how Allah comes to the aid of your problem. Nabi alayhi salam says, At-tawassul bil-a'mal al-saliha. What actions have the ummah got to present before Allah, to take the plea before Allah? This man makes dua, the other two say ameen. Nabi alayhi salam says, nobody even looks at the boulder and the boulder takes a second turn. Nobody touches it, nobody looks at it. There's only a'mal speaking here. The ayat I quoted in the beginning, Allah ta'ala says, there's nothing by virtue of which you can trust in Allah more than your a'mal. The third man comes forward. Wallah, these people, maybe they were poor in money, but they were rich in a'mal. Today you and I traveling, we are walking and we are carrying thick wallets. rich in money, but wallah, poor in amal. Poor in amal. Aaj har maa ki tamanna hai ke meri beti rukhsat ho maal ke saath. Aaj kis maa ki tamanna hai ke meri beti rukhsat ho amal ke saath. Every mother wants the best trousseau for her daughter. Which mother is making taqwa the trousseau of her daughter? Brothers, bear with me, something comes to mind. I don't know when I'll come back to Newcastle also. No, inshallah, I'll come back. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, when Yehuda returns with the shirt, amal, oh my daughter, you go in, my advice is taqwa. My advice is, you have a problem, go on the musalla, don't pick up the phone. Speak to Allah, from there your janazah leaves. Yehuda comes back with the shirt. Mufti Shafizab rahmatullahi writes in the fifth volume on the authority of Hassan Basri. He comes back with the shirt. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. And he places the shirt on the face of Yaqub alayhi salam, and instantly Allah restores the sight. So he gets very happy, and like it comes mustahab in the riwayat, in the riwayat of Ka'b radiallahu anhu also, that when someone gives you glad tidings, one is to fall into sajda immediately, and one is as a token of appreciation to give some physical gift to the man who brought glad tidings to you. This also comes in the hadith, is mustahab, is preferable, just to express your gratitude. Someone was sick, the operation is clear, a youngster proposed, the answer is yes. Whatever it is, some good news you are waiting for is pending. Today is very common, you send in messages, it's pending, and then it's delivered. So when you get the good news that it is true, then one is to fall in sajda, and one is to give something to that person. So the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, Yehuda, returns, and he puts the shirt, and he says, immediately the sight is restored. Then Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam asks Yehuda, how is Yusuf? First question. So he says, no, alhamdulillah, he is well, he is the king of Egypt. He says, no, I'm not asking about his financial position. How is his iman? I haven't sent my, according to the riwayat of Hassan Basri, 80 years. And one riwayat suggests 40 years. What is the condition of the iman of my son? I was in Australia, so they arranged for a program in QUT, the Queensland University of Technology. So I went in there. The environment was so evil, I wanted to cancel the program. Such nudity, such immorality. And I met with a lot of youth studying from different parts. Africa, South Africa, Malawi, Zambia. Wallahu's parents don't have the slightest idea of the evil that is taking place there. Constantly anybody returns, how is he? Is his flat okay? Is his health okay? Has he got his castle? His number is the same. No question about his iman and salah. And the evil that he's exposed to. We were walking down last Ramadan now in San Francisco. One brother took us to see one masjid. Actually it had some trace of some Islamic building. So, as we know, that is the most evil place. The capital of haram. That alim that was with me, he said a very unique thing. He says, Maulana, if you look down on the right and on your left, then you will see all the pledges that shaitan has made in the Quran before you. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ. Each ayat where shaitan pledges to do wrong, I will do such evil, I will mislead them, and I will make them change their appearance. I will make them alter Allah's creation. Where wallah, you can't identify the gender of the person walking. That is why that land is most prone to earthquake. Yaqub alayhi salam tells his son Yehuda, oh my son, you brought glad tidings to me. I want to give you a gift. But this is the house of Nabuwwah, there is nothing here. I'm going to give you a gift, and that is a dua. My dua is, my son, may Allah make the pangs of death easy for you. Wallah, when will this ummah, when will the father of this ummah give this dua? And when will the son receiving this dua feel saturated at the dua of his father? You and I have returned from Hajj. Let your child receive you at the airport and he says, Daddy, what you brought? And tell him dua and see what he tells you. Tell him, boy, what, Daddy, what you brought? Ma, I made dua for you at Medina. That you make always. That's always, that's caring. What have you brought for me? Imagine the father giving dua. What is the dua? May Allah make the pangs of death. Yehuda says, I am happy, I am saturated. If I have the dua, I have everything. When will that become the gift of the father? And when will the child receiving that dua feel happy? So the third person comes forward. Allahumma inni ta'jartu ujara. Allah, I employed some people. Brothers, today we are lacking in our business. There's no business ethics. The other day I met one brother who was a regular musalli in the masjid, and I always respected this man. I happened to meet him in the business in one shop, and the way he was swearing one person, wallah, I lost all respect. If a man is regular with his salah, but he doesn't have business ethics, the Nabi of Allah does not say that if you perform your salah, you are with siddiqeen, and you are with the anbiya. At-tajir as-saduq. Nabi alayhi salam says, if you are an honest tradesman, and you fear Allah in your business, then you and the anbiya will be together in Jannah. This is the beauty of Islam. Every person that has been gathered here, if he wants an abode in Jannah, wallah, he doesn't have to abandon his surgery, nor give up his business, and sit in a Darul Uloom. In your respective degree and profession, implement the ahkam of Allah that is applicable to you, and see what the Nabi of Allah has promised for you. Oh Allah, I employed some people, and one of them worked for me, and he did not take what was due to him, and he went away. And I thought to myself, look here, this is my brother, he's gone. A few years down the line, the man will come for his money. Let me invest his money. One is, I could take this opportunity and invest my own money and make money. But I said, no, let me be faithful to my brother. He worked for me, this is his money. I owe it to him. When someone owes us money, my friend, there's something like Qiyamah. There's something like Hisab. After all, Allah is watching. We'll leave it to Hashar. Allah will sort it out. And when we are owing money, Nabi alayhi salam has taught us to forgive. Look at the kindness of Allah. Allah gives and forgives, man gets and forgets. When people are owing us, we remind him of hisab. And when we are owing, the janaza is brought. Recently I spoke on this topic. One entire program just on the importance of settling debt. While the ummah is emotional on jihad, let it be known to you, wallah, you can go to any part of the land and present your life and get the title of a martyr. But the Nabi of Allah says, until you don't settle your debt, forget about Jannah. Forget about it. The janaza is brought. Oh my sahaba, has he got any debt? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Has he left enough money to settle his debt? Yes, O Nabi of Allah. Okay, stand behind me, Allahu Akbar, namaz is performed. Second janaza is brought. Has he got any debt? Yes, O Nabi of Allah, few dinars, few. Like one brother told us, one jamaat went to one shop. So they were standing there. Someone came to buy something for 5 rand. For 4.95, the man gave 5 rand. So he didn't give any change. So the Amir Sahib told him, buy that 5 cent is due to this man, you must give it to him on the day of Qiyamah. You will be answerable. He said, hey, buy, there are people pulling containers. Allah will be busy with them. Where Allah will worry of my 5 cent? People pulling containers, Allah will be busy with them, man. Allah is going to worry about my 5 cent on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will be sorting out all those things. Leave mine. Has he left behind money to settle the debt? No, Nabi of Allah. Sallu ala sahibikum. Do me a favor. I don't want to make the janaza of a man who hasn't settled his debt. You come forward and perform his namaz. What can be more grave a sin if the Nabi of Allah declines to perform janaza? One is, he was so sensitive and so particular. There was an Abyssinian woman that used to clean Masjid an-Nabawi. Nabi alayhi salam came in the masjid, he said, I don't see this woman. Sahaba said that she passed away, it was in the night. She wasn't a woman of much status. We didn't feel it advisable to disturb your sleep and to awaken you to perform her namaz. We arranged for ghusl, we performed the namaz and we buried her. Nabi alayhi salam said, no, my Sahaba, you don't know, these graves are full of darkness and Allah brightens it with my namaz. These graves are very dark. And when I make namaz, Allah brightens it. So whoever passes away, call me. One side he is saying, call me. And here he is saying, do me a favor, this man has left money, he is owing it, you perform the janaza. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, may Allah give hidayah to the wealthy of this ummah. Sayyidina Ali comes forward, O Nabi of Allah, don't deprive this man of his janaza. Whatever his debts are, I will settle it, perform his namaz. Nabi alayhi salam says, Fakkallahu rihanaka minan nar, kama fakatta rihana akhika al-Muslim. Ali, may Allah save you from Jahannam as you have saved your brother today. May Allah save you. I spoke about this, and maybe I'm a just shade. In that talk, I spoke about the needs of those that are owing, the debtor to walk out with the need of settling his debt, and the creditor to walk out, that if Allah gives me the chance of lenience, grace. And subhanallah, in the gathering after I came out, a week later, a brother phones me, says, Malan, I just want to give you some good news. I was owing someone money, and I had taken a bond, and I wanted to come out of this bond, and I came out with the need of pain. And another brother whom Allah had given wealth, he came out that, Allah, you have given me money, I need to help someone. And there was a brother who knew my problem and knew his need. He linked me with that person, and alhamdulillah, through the barakat of those ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah gave me the ability to come out of interest and pay that man, and Allah gave this rich brother the ability to help someone that is in need. Nabi alayhi salam told Ali, Ali, you saved him, may Allah save you. So I took this man's money, I said, it is money, I must invest it, 5 cents or 10 cents, everything is hisab. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And I invested it, and it multiplied. It became cattle and sheep and camels. And few years down the line, this man came to me, and he says, "Ya Abdullah, addi ilayya ajri." O friend of Allah, if you don't recall, I had been working for you many years ago. This was the time, and this is the money that is entitled to me. He says, "Yes, yes, yes. Come, I am waiting for you. Kullu ma tara min ajri, min al ibli wal baqri wal ghanmi wal raqiqi." Can you see all this cattle here, these cows, these camels, these slaves? This is all the proceeds of the money you left behind. Nabi alayhi salam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, this man couldn't believe it. Like they say, many people win the lotto and they die out of shock. This man said, "Ya Abdullah, la tastahzi' bi." Look, I know I worked for a little while, I'm entitled to a little few dinars. Don't mock at me. I know I don't own this. He says, "Wallah, I'm not mocking at you. I invested your money and this is what it is." Nabi alayhi salam says, "Fa'akhadahu, fattaqahu, falam yatruk shay'a." He took it, he thanked this man. Wallah, brothers, I mention it to the ladies especially. Many of us women, someone come there to clean the yard. Now the man is charging 20 rand. Allah's qasam, you will see more barakat if you made his heart happy than cutting him 5 rand short. That man is desperate. He will maybe work for less, but his sweat is going for so little. You have hurt his heart. Let it not be that the hurt of that man stays with you and it destroys you and your family. Take the joy of that man. You are arrogant to your servant. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud Abu Mas'ud Badri says, "My slave upsetted me." Today sometimes how we speak to our servants. And I held him there. The riwayat comes in Muslim Sharif. And I was about to hit him when someone caught my hand from the back. And he says, "Ya Aba Mas'ud, lallahu akdaru alayka minka ala hadhal ghulam." Abu Mas'ud, let me tell you, Allah got more authority over you than you got over the slave. If you think you can retrench, wait when Allah starts retrenching. You think you're in power, wait when Allah. Luqman alayhi salam told his son, "Ya bunayya, idha da'atka qudratuka ala dhulmi an-nas, fatadhakkar qudrat Allah." Oh my son, when your authority provokes you to exploit and oppress, then revive the authority of Allah. When your authority incites you, now you're in authority. When it incites you to oppress, you're in control. Then think of Allah's qudrat over you and Allah's access over you. Oh Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more control over you than you have over this man. I turned around and I seen it was the Nabi of Allah. I was embarrassed and I was ashamed. I said, "Can I say, huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah? Oh Nabi of Allah, can I say, I said this man pray?" Nabi alayhi salam said, "Ama law lam taf'al lala fahatka an-nar." It's just as well you set him free. Otherwise, believe me, Jahannam won't leave you. Jahannam won't leave you, Abu Mas'ud. What was the last word with which Nabi alayhi salam said and he left this world? Mawlana Saad Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned it so unique. Nabi alayhi salam, when his speech wasn't even audible and now he's passing away, and our last words is the shop and this and that, Nabi alayhi salam said, "As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum." Oh my ummah, I leave the last word, last advices. Mawlana Saad Sahib mentioned so uniquely, Nabi alayhi salam summed the entire deen in these two words. The last advice, look after your salah, look after your salah, and be kind to those that are under your employment. Be kind to your servants. Mawlana Saad Sahib mentioned, Nabi alayhi salam said, "Salah. If you will take care of salah, inshallah you will take care of all your duties towards Allah. And if you will be kind to those people over whom Allah has given you authority, like your domestic servants, you will never abuse your parents. Why? Because they have rights over you. If you will respect and honor Allah in moments where Allah has given you apparent honor and status and recognition, and you will not abuse it but capitalize on it, that if you will look after them, then all your huquq ul-ibad will be intact. Oh, my servant, this is, oh, my friend, you work for me, take all your money. He took his money. Nabi alayhi salam said, the other two companions made dua. They said, Ameen. The bowl shifted for a third time. وَخَرَجُوا يَمْشُونَ And all of them exited peacefully, without phoning anyone, without speaking to anyone, without putting a word for anyone, without touching their boulder. Each man through the medium of his amal had his problem solved in the court of Allah. We make dua to the Almighty Allah in conclusion that He gives us the tawfiq and the ability. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu before used to come for Fajr Salah. Brothers, and this amal that I'm saying they should be in the life, wallah, we shouldn't even mention this to our wives. If Allah wants it to come to light, it will come to light at our death. Otherwise, Allah's knowledge is sufficient. Allah's knowledge is sufficient. The ulama say the definition of ikhlas is when you conceal your good in the manner you conceal your wrong. That is the definition of ikhlas. We are grateful to Allah that our children haven't seen us in our past life. My child grew up when I had a beard. Allah must never show my son my past. There are many of us that know our evil and our past. Wallahi law alimu qabiha sarirati la abassalama alayya man yalqani wa la a'radu anni wa mallu suhbati wa la bu'tu ba'da karamatin bihawani lakin satarta ma'ayibi wa matalibi wa halumta an saqati falaka almahamidu kulluha bijawarihi wa lisani. The poet says, oh Allah, you have been so kind to conceal my fault. Wallahi law alimu qabiha sarirati. If these people who salute me, honor me and revere me, if one day you have to only expose a fraction of how evil my heart is, لَأَبَسْتَلَامَ عَلَيْيَ مَنْ يَلْقَانِي Never mind, he will stop greeting me, they won't even answer my greeting. Those that today are saluting me will stop answering my salam. وَلَأَعْرَضُوا عَنِّي They will run from me. لَكِنْ سَتَرْتَ مَعَيِّبِي وَمَتَالِبِي But my kind Allah, you have been so kind that you have veiled my wrong. So, just as we conceal our wrong, we've got to conceal our good. That is ikhlas. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to go and feed one woman on the outskirts of Medina. She was blind, she was deaf, she was dumb. He used to clean the house, he used to feed her, he used to see to her. When he used to come in the masjid, people were coming from home. Abu Bakr had catered to the need of one widow, earned the reward of Allah, and then he used to come in. After the demise of Abu Bakr, this khidmat amongst many other khidmat of his came to light. I came across a riwayat in Kanzul Ummal. Nabi alayhi salam says, on the day of Qiyamah, the pinnacle of joy, where Allah will unveil His beauty before the creation, Nabi alayhi salam held Abu Bakr and told him, "Inna Allah yatajalla lin-nasi ammatan wa yatajalla li Abi Bakrin khassa." Abu Bakr, Allah will reveal His beauty and His countenance, which will be the pinnacle of happiness for the Jannati. On one note, the entire creation will see Allah. Like how you see, innakum tarawna rabbakum, kama tarawna hadha al-qamr, la tudhammuna fi ru'yatihi. Like you see the bright moon, you will see Allah. But Abu Bakr, Allah will reveal His beauty for you in seclusion. You will see Allah exclusively, Abu Bakr. And the entire creation will see Allah on a general note. You will have a private meeting with Allah. You will have an exclusive meeting with Allah. After death of Abu Bakr, this amal of his came to light. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq also that we do some good actions in our life. By virtue of which, brothers, it can secure our abode in akhirat also. And in moments of desperation, be it on an international level or in our own families, whatever crisis we are going through, not at the time of the crisis, but long before, to have certain amal, like we are banking and we have in extra money. You never know, greet the man tomorrow, he is the principal of the school, tomorrow your grandchild got to go, at least you know it's okay. Greet the mechanic tomorrow, you're stranded, at least the man will come fix your car. Greet the bank manager tomorrow, okay, loan bound, you don't know what happens. You don't know what happens. We secure ourselves for the future in a possible situation. Brothers, definitely we know what halat is coming. We don't know if that contact will secure it or not. Let us have amal. The focus of my talk, the conclusion of my talk, the beginning of my talk is, there's no better way by virtue of which we can take and present our plea before Allah other than the medium and the intercession of good actions. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us all. Recite Durud Sharif.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.